Right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing to be here with you all again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Just ask your blessing, Father, on this time together. Lord, we just pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Lord, that you'd give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Lord, we just ask your blessing again upon us. Help us be faithful to you. Lord, fill us again with your Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Just was talking with Brother Brian down in Brazil with some brothers there. Keep them in your prayers. Spoke with them a little bit last night. Spoke to them a little bit last night, and just kind of trying to lay a foundation. Several people there that were new, and one of the things that we talked about was the foundation that we're trying to build on. There's so many different denominations, so many different things, and it's so confusing to the world. And what I want to talk about this morning is foundations of the kingdom, part of them, and that we can go into history and see. The neat thing about it is we can go into history and just see just exactly what the early church believed. You know, there's so many denominations and so many different groups, and you can trace back to their beginning of where they had a leader or a founder that taught some new thing. And you know, it's just really so simple. If you go back, you can see where these groups or these churches got their beginning from. And oftentimes they show you some new thing that they're trying to teach, and they begin, and it begins right there. And you know, and a lot of people can trace back their history to a certain group, but the reality is of the kingdom of God is that it starts in the kingdom of God. And it starts with our King. We talked a little about that last week. You know, I was just thinking, you know, sometimes when we talk about a King, the closer one of the songs we talked about was being a representative of our King and being close to our King. And you know, whenever we think of that, you know, if someone today is close to a king or close to a president, they just, it seems like they just get all kinds of perks that go with that. There's just an elevation that you're just treated different because you're close to the king or you're close to the president. So you can get away with a lot of things. You know, that's what we think. You know, I remember having one time friend of mine, or man that I grew up, a neighbor, he was a state representative, and he had special plates that he had on his car that showed that he was a representative. And he told me one time he was just flying down the road, and a policeman got up behind him, and he got right behind him, had his lights on, then he saw those plates, and he just shut the lights off and turned over. And he said he knew which side of the bread it was buttered. In other words, it was just a statement that he knew where, you know, that he had power because he was close to the king. In other words, he couldn't really do anything with him. And that's the thought, you know, I just thought about that when he told me that. I thought, you know, you're writing the laws that govern us, and you disregard them. That you ought to be the held most accountable. But that's not the way it goes in the kingdom of the world. We become, you know, we can just flout them the closer we get to the king, it seems like. But when we talk about the kingdom of God, we are becoming more like our king. And it's not to elevate ourselves and build power up for ourselves so that we can have special things. It's to be more like our king. And that is a foundation of the kingdom of God. Whenever we talk about the kingdom of God, it's opposite. You know, Jesus talked about the opposite, that the first will be last and the last will be first. Instead of special privileges like we would get if we were in the king, you know, in the favor of a king here, well, we become more like our king, and that's more like Jesus. And I just wanted to lay that out kind of as a foundation before we start reading. It says, 1 Timothy chapter 6, all who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. All who are under the yoke as slaves are to respect their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. You know, that goes along with what the boys' lesson was this morning about fathers. I want to point out here, it doesn't say all who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their good masters as worthy of all honor. It says to regard your own master. You know, we look around and we see good fathers. We see fathers that maybe don't quite measure up. Maybe they have a lot more faults than others. Some are loving and kind, just like in masters. You know, there's people that have had slaves that were good people, and they treated them well. And then there's slaves that were just, there were owners of slaves that were mean and ugly. And that's, he said, it doesn't really matter. The point is where they were supposed to be honored. They're worthy of all honor. And that's the way it is with fathers and mothers. You know, maybe our father, maybe our mother wasn't all that great of a father or mother like we can look out and see some others have. But they're all worthy of honor and respect. You know, it kind of goes with what Jesus taught, or what Paul said in Romans. You know, it says that we overcome good with evil. And when you tie those two together, you know, it doesn't matter how bad a master you have or how bad a father you might have, you are being given an opportunity to overcome maybe they're evil with good. And that's the way we do things. That's the way we win in the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes, you know, the songs we sing about, some through the water, some through the flood, and some through the fire, but all through the blood. You know, the one that goes through the water, you know, that seems like a simple thing. And then there's some that go through the flood, and that seems like a really dramatic thing. And then there's some that have to go through fire. And that sounds like an awful thing. We all got to go through something. Some of us are given the opportunity, and it's just kind of a piece of cake. We walk through the water, we got to maybe have a perfect family and a good father and a good mother and everything. Just, you know, we still got to learn to be faithful, and we still got to honor and respect. And oftentimes it's harder for us to overcome ourselves whenever things are so easy. And then we have some that have to go through the flood. It seems like there's always a problem. And then there's some that go through fire where it's just a terrible problem all the time. But when we're going through those hard times is when we have the opportunity to actually test ourselves. Can I still honor? Can I still respect? Can I still obey? You know, a lot of times we make excuses for ourselves because someone's really done us wrong. And so we can excuse the way we behave. I don't have to honor them because they were really bad. I don't have to love my neighbor because they're really ugly. And then the reality is that's exactly the time you're asked to. A lot of times the person that's going through the water don't ever really isn't really tested to see whether they would make that right choice or not. They just can kind of float through life. And then God puts some tests on us and we have to decide, well, am I going to honor my father? He was a jerk a while ago. He was mean to me. He did something really bad. No, that is who this is talking to. It's not talking to the guy who's walking through the water. This is talking to the guy who's maybe having to go through the fire and still honor their parents. Or their, as this case, this slave or a master. Those who have believers as their masters must not be disrespectful to them because they are brethren, but must serve them all the more, because those who partake in the benefits are believers and beloved. Teach and preach these principles. In other words, here's some principles to build a foundation on. You know, we can talk about rules, this or that, doctrines, but until we have these principles, whatever we build on them, like we've talked about last week, is worthless. The foundation of these things. If anyone advocates different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctor conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. Here he's talking about people who maybe have all these right foundations. These right doctrines. They may appear like everything is just so-so in their lives. But he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arrive envy, strife, abusive language, and evil suspicions. Well, doesn't that just about sum up religion? Doesn't that just sum up, you know, plain religion? We go around with controversial questions. You know, always seeing a problem in someone else. Suspicious about other people. And then dispute about words, out of which arise envy. You know, envy. They call it the green monster. We don't hardly even pay any attention to it anymore, but it is alive and well. And a lot of times it's in churches. Somebody's got a little higher position than I got. Somebody has a little bit better than I have. Somebody got a gift and I didn't get one. That big old green monster that rises up in us and feels sorry for ourselves because we're not where someone else is. You know, people want the high positions you know, or what appears to be the high positions and the positions of authority. But if we wind up with them because of these disputes, instead of letting God mold us through those times when we have the opportunity to shine, when we're wronged, and we can rise above that, that's who rises to these things, honestly. But if we come about them just trying to tear someone else down to get them, it's divisive, it's divisive, it's ugly. And that's, you know, when we look at the kingdom and we see all the different denominations and all the different divisions, whenever Christ's kingdom is one, and it's still just the way it was, and its foundation is built on being like our King. And in order to gain my own credibility or something, I've got to divide off, and I've got to, and that's where all that comes from. The different things to make me special or to set me apart from everybody else instead of just being a part of the kingdom. Evil suspicions and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. You see that whenever you read this in the King James, it talks that supposing that gain is godliness. It doesn't quite say what it says here. You know, there that leaves the thought that if I'm successful in business, that must be because of my godliness. But that's not what it's applying here. Who suppose that godliness is a means of great gain. In other words, I'm going to do all these things to present myself as a godly person and then begin to gain the power or the control that comes with all of that. Verse 6 says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain. In other words, being like Christ is the great gain. Not all the things on the outside that come with it. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied with contentment. One of the foundations, contentment. You know, a godly person, part of being godliness is they have connected with the Lord. And just like having peace because we're connected with the Lord, just like tasting forgiveness being connected with the Lord, there comes a contentment. And I think a lot of the reason for the strife and division in all kinds of churches is because they don't know that contentment themselves. People don't know that contentment themselves. You know, we work with groups and you just hear about them bickering and fighting among themselves, or someone always just picking out everybody's faults. You know, whenever we've said it before, that whenever we've tasted forgiveness, we can forgive. When we've actually experienced that forgiveness ourselves, it's easy to forgive someone else. And when we've tasted that contentment, when we've met the Lord and we're trusting in the Lord, we have a contentment in our own souls. A rest and a peace that doesn't have to look out and find fault with someone else so that I can feel better about myself. They don't have to find this area that I know you're wrong in and be divisive about it, because they've got the contentment in themselves. And I think that's one of the big problems with religion. We're looking at it just like we're getting next to the king, and I'm going to gain power and strength because I'm closer to the king. Just like we would if I was close to the governor and just gained this strength and power and these different perks, insider information and all that kind of stuff to make myself gain. When real gain is being like our king, sometimes having to go through fire, flood, and all kinds of things so that we can actually know that contentment to whatever state I find myself, like Paul said, whatever state I find myself. He said, I've had prosperity, I've had nothing. But he said, I found that whatever condition I'm in, I am content. And that's where the phrase, you know, in King James says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And I think that's what he's trying to say here, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Like I said, I think what happens is a lot of times our hearts show us what's actually in us. And whenever there's just discontentment or there's having to pick someone else apart, it's just showing that we don't have contentment in ourselves and in our own hearts. We're not happy with where we're at with God. And so we've got to... And this is the foundation, I think, or these are the heart of divisions and just the opposite of what he's talking about here. And that's why he goes through that. It just all works together. Whatever place we find ourselves, be content. Oh, I wish my dad was better. I wish my dad was like other dads. Well, you know, the reason he isn't is so that you can see the discontentment in your own heart and learn to be content with it. You know, a lot of times God leaves problems in other people just so he can try to show us the problems in ourselves. And if we're discontent, nothing's quite right, we're just looking for the next things that thrill us, or we're just looking for something else or something extra or something better, it's discontentment. You know, in the Garden of Eden, Eve was there and Satan came along and tempted her, tricked her, and then he went to Adam. And you know, what he was saying was, look out there, God's hiding something from you. God's trying to hide something from you. And what stirred in his heart? Discontentment. That's what Satan uses. That's the tool. That's the foundation of the tool that Satan, if he can stir you with a little discontentment against anybody, he can control you. He can get you all stirred up, and you can get somebody else all stirred up, and you can just have a church overthrow. All in the name of godliness. But in true reality, godliness with contentment. is great gain. That's how he tempts us. He shows us something we don't have, and we begin to wish we had it. And we get a little discontent. We get to having a little pity party. We get to feeling sorry for ourselves that I don't have what somebody else has. And that just opens the door to being discontent, which opens the door to the whole world. A lot of people can't be content where they're at. You know, there's places that won't let you follow the Lord. They won't let you make your own decisions. There's a place that we sometimes have to leave. But most of the time, is we're just not content. Just to be faithful, we want something better. Find the foundations of following Jesus and put them into practice. And if you suffer for it, praise the Lord. If you're just out stirring something up because you're not content, find the Lord and get content. He's all we need. It's easy to sing it, but boy, it's a lot harder just to let it rule our lives. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. You know, a lot of times we forget that we are spirits and we live in a body. We're not a body that has a spirit. And if our spirit can be content in God, in Christ, it doesn't really matter what happens to our body. May the Lord help us to practice that contentment, to live that contentment, to be that contentment. That's a foundation of the kingdom of God. And the troubles that you have, or the hard situations you have, are opportunities for you to learn that contentment and to go through it. You know, we've talked before, you know, how many times, you know, you find someone, they're 50 years old, and they've got the, or 20 years, 25 years old, or 30 years old, and they've got the maturity of a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old. We've seen it over and over again where whatever time a child, a young person, doesn't be content in their position and they decide, I'm not going to do this any longer, their maturity level stops right there. Now, how many times have we seen people who started taking drugs when they were 12 or 13 or 14 years old? And then we wonder why they still act like a 12 or a 13-year-old. They never faced reality at that time to go through that hard transition in their life from becoming a child to an adult. And they never grew through that. They never faced the hard things that they had to go through. They ran away from them. Same things happens when a child just decides, I'm not listening to my dad anymore. I'm not listening to him anymore. You're running away in your mind. You're running away from your own opportunity to mature into a man yourself. Learning to be content in a bad situation and be happy through it gains you so much. You know, we wonder why, you know, there just isn't very many real leaders. There isn't very many real leaders because everybody checks out when times get hard. And they run away from it. They hide from it. They just decide, I'm not going through this anymore. And they stop right there. May God give us the grace just to go through whatever God has given you. Whatever situation God has put you in right now is right where He wants you. And when you can learn to be happy right there and content right there, great is your gain. That's godliness. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Amen to the message.
Praise the Lord.
I too want to give a hearty yea and amen to the message. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, God bless you all. We'll meet back here at 6 o'clock, Lord willing. Keep Brian and Murray in your prayers. Depart in peace. God bless you.